When AI first came out, I was a bit leery of using it for church purposes, but today I am a big believer, and I think almost every pastor should be using AI in at least some capacity. We're going to break some of those ways down in this conversation. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about the shocking truth about AI in the church. This is something that we take a lot of time to think about, to use. I imagine our audience is curious about it too. And so we're just going to share our takes today I guess it'd be April of 2025 when this airs, about what our feeling is on AI in the church. We have some pretty strong ones, and so we're going to dig into it today.
Yeah, definitely a hot topic, even controversial, and we know a lot of pastors and ministry leaders thinking through this, and many churches already obviously heavily relying on it, some resistant to it, so should be a good one.
I think, Ian, you and I are both AI users. I think I probably use it more than you do. Is that true? Or how much are you using it now?
Sporadically. You use it definitely more. And you're preaching now and using it for that. So,
You divulged my secret that I'm using AI to preach, but we'll talk more about that.
Jumping ahead.
I have some guidelines on that. Please.
You've mentioned that in past sermons.
I have, but please don't say that I'm using AI to preach. Like, that's not...
We're getting attention right off the bat. We're getting ears perking. So there you go.
Yeah.
So, but mainly whenever I use it, it's for what we do here at Reach Right and to assist me in what we're doing here and what my role is here. So, but
if I average it, probably about 10 AI chats per day, 10 requests, I'd say, somewhere in that realm. So I pay for a couple of them because we do a lot of testing and for our videos and those kinds of things. So as we talk about AI today, we'll be primarily talking about some of the chatbots. Most commonly people think of ChatGPT. I tend to use one called Claude by Anthropic. Yeah. I find it just
your
better
best friend.
For its responses for me.
Yep. He's your best friend.
What's the term? Anthropomorphic. It's more humanized by naming it Claude. Yeah. It feels like it's a real person.
So. He's replaced me as one of your closest friends.
That's true. Yeah. Claude is a buddy of mine. I spend more time with him in some cases, unfortunately.
You probably do. So, well, good, Thomas. We have 7 questions. Okay. I'll dig in as usual and pick your brain about them. And this first one here, can AI preach a sermon?
Can AI preach a sermon? What do you mean? Like, break that down for me.
That's the question. I guess specifically, it has the ability to research and write out sermons, but does this count as a real sermon if you use AI that way, I guess is the way we're looking at it. So
like a year ago, we did a video, and I'll link to it up here. I don't know that you might want to watch it. It's can AI outpreach Stephen Furtick or something like that is what we called it.
Yeah. That's right.
And so we actually fed it. I asked it to make a Stephen Furtick style sermon from Elevation Church. And then we had it was kind of early in the AI. I think you probably get Stephen Furtick's voice today to do it. So you could make AI voice clones and those kinds of things. But, so the question was, can you do that? The answer to me was a pretty resounding no. It was total trash that AI produced and not something that was a coherent sermon at all, even when I think we had Morgan Freeman do the voice for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why we did that, but, long story short, if you just asked me that question, can AI preach a sermon? I suppose it could. Yes.
Yeah.
Should AI preach sermons for us? No.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. We should not rely on that today. And I guess to the question of is it something that we should use in preparing our sermons?
Yeah.
Well, that's another whole nother question. So I do heavily rely on AI in preparing for my sermon, but maybe not the way people think that I do. And I don't ask it to hey, help me come up with a 3-point sermon about this passage or something like that, or write a 3-point sermon for me about tithing or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not that. I shared a few episodes ago, I preached a sermon and the way that I used AI is I had it do research mostly for me. So it helped me find correlating verses to the ones that I could. It gave me like 20 of them, and I narrowed it down to two or three. It helped me find them quicker than pulling out a Bible tool or doing a Google search. It did that for me. I use it to like organize my notes sometimes. So I just do my whole sermon. I don't stop to think about my spelling or any of that kind of stuff. And I just fix all of my grammar and make it in a new outline for me. So I have it organized for me almost like a secretary. I have it prompt me sometimes to like think about new ideas or think about things in new ways. So I might say something like, I have a point in my message about Jesus wanting secrecy in our giving. That was the last message that I gave about secrecy in our giving. Give me a few questions that I can think about that help me think of an illustration to do this particular point in it. So I used AI that way. So when I am preparing my sermons now, I do have like my sermon that I'm writing in Google Docs on one side, and I have Claude open on another tab or on another screen, on my split screen here, basically. That's the way that I'm writing things right now. So can it preach a sermon? I think to that question, plainly, no. Can it help write sermons? Absolutely, yes. That's one of my primary use cases for pastors, I'd say.
Good way to put it and clarify. And that's a good segue to this next question, is relying on AI to write the sermon, who does it belong to? So the ownership of the message, does it rightly belong to AI or the pastor utilizing AI?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're foolish enough to have AI write your sermon for you completely, saying, give me a sermon and then preaching it, AI owns that sermon as far as I'm concerned. Legally, I don't know. We don't give any legal advice on this channel. That's not our thing. Yeah. But I think morally, the owner of that sermon is Anthropic or OpenAI or whoever owns the chatbot. I'd never do that. So I don't think that's really that important of a question. Like, who owns the research that I did, I guess, on my, I'm using it as a brainstorming and research tool. So there's no question in my mind, the way that I use it, that's a sermon that me and the Holy Spirit wrote. That's where that comes from. So I don't think that's something. And if you are foolish enough though to have AI preach your sermons for you, then I think OpenAI owns it.
Well, of course. Yeah. And I think you've pretty much answered the next question, whether or not AI is a tool or a temptation. I guess where it could be a temptation is if someone did become completely lazy and fully relied upon it to teach the sermon. So,
it's a temptation too, though. I think that it's something that I have noticed that as I've come to rely on AI more, that I don't find myself flexing my writing muscle as much as I used to. And so I think in a sad way, it's made me there's different benefits, right? It's made me a better editor. I think I'm better at taking content, grabbing the ideas from it and making them something different or turning them into something else. But from the organic, like brainstorming side of things that I used to be pretty good at, I feel like I've just not flexing that muscle. And I actually notice a change, like in writing messages recently, that it's felt harder for me to come up with illustrative ideas or those things without using it. So I do think there's a temptation there and something we have to watch out for, that you build up by doing these reps, you build up some of this kind of experience. And if you rely too heavily on it, you start to lose that muscle memory that you have in, kind of churning out sermon after sermon that way. So just something that I've found.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good way to put it. It can be a temptation for sure. So this next one too might be a little bit controversial on the side. Can it provide true spiritual guidance? So for pastors and to help people deal with their sin issues, problems, and all of that.
We had a client of ours here at ReachRite that built their own AI. And it's a very conservative theological AI. I know this because I saw that a church of ours that we were helping, or a ministry, I guess, they built this AI, and I was like, I have to see this and how this whole thing works. So it's a chatbot. It works just like ChatGPT or something like that, where people can put in, but all of the answers are just basically hardwired to be very conservative, orthodox Christian teaching. So nothing, definitely within the bounds of you know, good quality teaching, nothing that was heretical or anything. But I threw everything I knew at it just to kind of see where it was on the theological spectrum. And it was kind of funny, the things like, so the goal behind the chatbot was that people could get their spiritual questions answered. So someone could chat and get real Bible teaching, scripture references and those things. Things you could do on a ChatGPT, but it just basically had guardrails around it so it wouldn't ever take you down paths that are not biblical was the idea behind it. So, and I really commend this client of ours for doing it. But I tested it in a bunch of ways by asking it just the hardest theological questions. I basically got it to say that if someone gave their life to the Lord and got baptized at Elevation Church, that they should go to another church and get rebaptized because that wasn't a proper baptism there because it was not conservative enough, basically is the idea behind it. So I had to say those kinds of things. I got it. I found out that it was basically a cessationist chatbot, so they don't believe in the spiritual gifts anymore. And so I got it to say, basically by walking it through its own conclusions, I got it to say that it's inappropriate for Christians to pray for sick people because they believe the gifts have ceased. And even the most extreme cessationists don't believe that, I'd say. So it was just kind of funny. Like when you test these things, it really is hard to make a chatbot that does give 100% accurate theological answers. And how you train it to do that, to be exactly your views as a church, it's really hard to do. So can it do that? I've seen some evidence that it can. I think that you can get really good spiritual guidance from it, but there are definite boundaries that we have to watch out for and things to care for in that area.
Agreed. That's good. Good explanation for that one. Next one is, can it be a threat to church community AI?
Probably. Yeah, I don't think I haven't heard accounts of this yet, where people are
just weakens having relationship with AI. Sense of,
These exist, I think a lot of them get into perversion places, so I don't recommend you go search them. But there do exist like companions that are AI that people can download as apps on their phone. And I don't know anybody personally that's used these. I haven't ever tried them because I do think they cross certain lines of marital faithfulness and those things for a lot of people. Yeah. So I don't recommend them. But I do think that there is a potential in the future. I can't see a scenario where this doesn't happen, where we will have to actually wrestle with some of these questions of what do we do in the church with like AI relationships that people have, with especially when it gets into some of these thing like sex robots and some of that kind of stuff that I know it sounds so outlandish and everything.
Right. No, but it's a thing.
We probably are only a few years away from it, honestly.
Yeah.
Again, we're doing this and this will be going out in April of 2025. So if you're a few years and this doesn't come true, don't hold it against me. But I think that that's obviously, it seems like every time there's a major technological breakthrough, it is the pornography industry and those people that tend to use it first and express. Yeah. So it's something that I think we really need to wrestle with in the church of how we disciple people, how we help men and women that are maybe going to be tempted to that. I think for men and women, we have different temptations in these areas. I think the relational aspect of it will be something that women probably really struggle with. I think the visual aspects of it.
The AI robot listens so much better compared to my husband. Yeah.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, yeah, no, it's definitely true. So, so is it a threat to church community? I haven't seen it yet, but I think that those days are in our future and it will be something where we need great theologians to be wrestling with this kind of stuff as we go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. And this next one also is very interesting. Could it be manipulated for a theological bias? So, you know, in other words, you know, can it promote certain, you know, interpretations of scripture that are inaccurate? So that's, I know, a big question a lot of folks
have, it definitely does right now, like so the generic chatbots, so your ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini or any of those, they obviously have bias baked into them. Google, when they released theirs, famously like were shoving diversity into every image that it was generating. I don't know if you remember that, where they would say, you know, show a picture of the founding fathers. And then there were all these African-American founding fathers with powdered wigs and stuff on. And so it was just total craziness that it was just, it had that kind of stuff so baked into it. If you were to ask one of those questions on theology when it comes to LGBTQ issues and that kind of stuff, it will definitely give you, if you don't set guardrails and say, hey, please give me a historical, traditional view of what the Bible teaches about this, it'll probably give you that answer. But if you just ask a generic thing, like, is it okay to be gay and be Christian on one of those generic chatbots, you're going to get a probably an affirming answer with those kinds of things. So now, AIs can be built, like that one I mentioned before, that would set up those guardrails automatically, and that could be the case. But yes, it can absolutely be set up to manipulate theological ideas. I expect that will be a very serious problem we'll have to deal with because people will be so used to relying on these AI tools for all information that we'll have to watch that. Just like, you know, bias is an issue everywhere, but I think it'll be even more so when it comes to AI.
Yeah, could be interesting. So, well, this last one I actually like here. It's an interesting one. Is AI the future of evangelism? Because it can share the gospel through social media sites and chatbots. Is it going to be something that really can lead people to Jesus?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, so I've never tried this before. Like, like with one of the generic chatbots, so your ChatGPTs or Claudes, if you just asked it, like, you know, I'm sure I could get it to preach the gospel to me. Like, I'm sure I could get it to, you know, to say, hey, assume that you are Billy Graham or Rick Warren or something like that. And I came to you and asked, what must I do to be saved?
Right.
I would imagine it would probably do a good job of telling me the gospel and giving it from their perspective in those things. So yes. So you could also build AIs, and I imagine these exist. And I'm sure that that one I mentioned before that was from one of our customers here, that would preach the gospel if someone asked the right kinds of questions. But I don't know that, like, the challenge with it is that AI today is fully initiated by us, right? So it's something that we have to initiate all the questions. And I think that the gospel, I had the pleasure of leading someone to the Lord this week after my sermon.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They came up afterwards. I got to pray with him, and it was just really an awesome encounter. But it took me initiating that. He didn't come up.
Right.
Very rarely in my ministry have people come up and ask that question, what must I do to be saved? Or I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. What do I have to do?
Yeah.
Like, it's usually I have to decide to do that. I have to be the initiator as the pastor or the friend or whatever it would be. And so AI is not great at that, at figuring out what you need to hear and when you need to hear it. And so I think it'll always be challenging in that way, but it could be a tool in our tool belt if it's set up properly, I'd say. So that's just some of my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree. And it could be a tool in the tool belt, but I, again, agree there's no replacing the way God uses us as his vessels to spread the gospel, for sure. I know we're his first delight in that. So, well, good stuff, Thomas. Yeah, we hope this was helpful for folks thinking through AI right now and using it. And
my advice to anybody like that's watching this episode or is kind of AI curious, I really recommend that you get into it, because I think that the overall trend is that you will be using AI more in a month than you are today. You'll be using it more in a year than you are today, and in 10 years you'll be using it way more than you are today. So one of my fears is that I will be every generation has their technology thing that they say, nope, I'm just not going there. I'm not getting on that one. So, you know, for my grandparents, it was the VCR, and that's why it always blinked 12. And, you know, for my parents at times, it was the computer, where they just said, nope, that's just not for me. I'm not going to go that route. And I think for our generation, Ian, it's going to be AI, and that it's going to be so commonplace for everybody in our culture in a matter of years, that if we just ignore it right now and don't learn it and aren't like using it regularly, I think we'll wind up getting left behind. I know that my son and kids that are in school right now, a lot of them shouldn't be using it so much, but they are using it for all kinds of things. It's actually a really great tutor if someone really wants to learn. You can have it quiz you. There's all kinds of things you can do with it. But long story short, I encourage our audience to start trying to use it. If you feel uncomfortable using it in sermon prep, great, that's fine. Yeah. I'm not saying you have to do it there, but find ways that you can bring it into your normal day-to-day life and use it in your daily work activities and become more comfortable with it because you're going to need it more and more. So that's some advice I leave you with. If you disagree, I'd love to hear about it down in the comments. If you think we're wrong about how I'm using it to help me as an assistant in my sermon writing or some other part of what I said, tell me about it down below. All comments are welcome. And one thing I'll say too is that we do still respond to every comment that gets put on here. We don't typically use AI for those comment responses. Once in a while, we'll have it help us with simple responses on things if it's just a generic comment or something. But we actually do think about these kinds of things that you're writing. We'll respond to it. Let us know down in the comments. Thanks for watching, guys, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.